desires and these thoughts taking place in his mind and not really understanding any spiritual connotation to this. He didn't understand spiritual things. He just thought it's my own mind and what's wrong with me and began to fantasize on these things. And he said, once I gave in to my thoughts, he says, I couldn't stop myself. I acted out on these things. And he was even surprised at himself for what he was doing. And that's kind of frightening, to be honest with you, because I know that we all at times have some not real good thoughts. Maybe I'm the only one here today. I don't know, but I'll just confess to you, I've had some not good thoughts. Amen. You know, the scripture lets us to know that all of humanity deals with lust. Lust of the eyes and the lust of the heart and the pride of life. You know, we deal with these things and because we're humans. We all sit here as humanity today. I don't know that there's any angels, any other angels sitting here this morning. My wife maybe would be the closest to it, but let me tell you, I know from firsthand that at times I've seen her not to act as an angel. Amen. Sometimes, it just every once in a while, I'm in trouble. Amen. Pray for me. Amen. I just ratted her out. But seriously, we all deal with like passions. We all have struggles in our life. And once he acted out on these thoughts, he became so trapped and isolated in his own world. He could not possibly ever tell anyone of these thoughts that he was dealing with. He couldn't tell anybody about this gross darkness that gripped his soul. He didn't have anybody to go to. No doubt it was shameful. It was very embarrassing. And so he kept all this trapped up on the inside. Leviticus chapter 16 in verse number 21 through 22 tells us, "And Aaron shall lay both of his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins." How's he going to do that? By putting them upon the head of the goat. "And he shall send him away by the hand of one fit man into the wilderness." Anybody fit here? Anybody work out? You jog? My wife likes to jog. Amen. She just jogged 4 miles the other day. Amen. She's into it, you know, and it's benefited her. It's been a blessing to her. But anybody fit in here? Who's fit here this morning? Anybody work out? Amen. Well, you know, as I look around, there's some probably more fit than me. I would not be the one that they would choose to send, take this goat by the bridle and lead him on out into the wilderness. It was a fit man that took him way out in the wilderness. And it says, "And the goat shall bear upon him all their sins unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let the goat go in the wilderness." The priest would pray over his head. He'd put his hand on his head. And he'd pronounce all the sins, all the wrongdoings of the nation. He would put that burden upon this goat. He would, with his words and an authority as the priest, he'd speak this over his life. And then they would take this goat and drag him clear out in the wilderness and they'd turn him loose. And this goat, this beast would wander through the barrenness of the wilderness in dry places. Amen. And he'd lead him out there and he was separated from everybody, not connected with anyone. Can I tell us here today that that is what unconfessed sin will do in your life? That's what it will do in you. It will separate you and it will isolate you from everyone. It'll cause a person to succumb to shame. Unconfessed sin. It'll cause a person to wander through the lonely wilderness of life. Amen. Feeling alone and abandoned. Just like it did on this goat. Amen. But can I say, isn't that just like the devil? You know, he'll come along and he'll tempt you. And he'll provoke you to make bad decisions in life. Excuse me. He'll entice you. He'll make things look good. He'll lure you in. Come on, everybody's doing it. You know, you're missing out if you don't do this. You know, it's okay. Come on. A little bit is not going to hurt you. And you know, nobody probably even ever know it. Nobody would even really care. Isn't that just like him to try to tempt you and lure you into sin and making wrong choices and decisions in life? And then when you do it, when you act out upon that thought, he's the first one to come along and say, "You fool! What's wrong with you? I can't believe you did that. You know, you're the only one that would do something like that." Amen. He's real quick, amen, to be the first one to sit here and start speaking into your hearing and speaking into your mind and tell you how bad you are and you ought to be ashamed of yourself and you're the only one that would do something like that. I can't believe you. You failure. I've dealt with it. I would imagine somebody else has. And there you are, isolated in that lonely place. Separated. With all these secrets that nobody can ever find out. I feel like the Lord, I came here, I believe, on a mission today. I did. I didn't come here just to, I have all kinds of messages, Pastor. I could have preached this sound really good. And I didn't really concern myself with coming here today just trying to sound good. But I really believe that God wants to help somebody here today. God wants to set somebody free this morning. Amen. And you know, just like that goat, when we act out upon sin, we can wander in the barren places of the wilderness, you know, and empty, alone, and ashamed, with all the burden and the heavy weight of sin upon us. Amen. These dark secrets nobody knows about. These dark secrets that you're going to take to the grave because you can't tell anybody. Amen. Having said that, how many know there's power in confession? There's power in confession today. It was obvious to me that Zacchaeus, the publican, he had a major repentance in his life. Anybody know about Zacchaeus? He was a publican. Anybody know what a publican is? It's a tax collector, equivalent to the mafia. He was a crooked man. And, you know, he was not honest. And though he was small in stature, he was sure big in crime. You know, he was the Al Capone of his day. And, see, he was, not only was he crooked. See, if you owned the government, if you was delinquent in taxes, he'd come and knock on your door. It's time to pay up. Have patience with me, sir. I'm sorry, I don't have it. He was going to get that money out of you one way or another. They'd break your arm if they had to. They've been known to be very brutal. And the thing is, he came with the authority of the government. Because he would come, and if you was delinquent, he would get what you owe the government, but then he went above and beyond what you owe the government. And that was his little slice of the pie. And it was obvious that Zacchaeus was a very wealthy man. But Zacchaeus came to a moment in his life that he had major repentance. He heard about Jesus once coming through one day, and he heard about all this stuff about Jesus, and probably from Matthew, who was a publican. He probably heard, when Jesus called Matthew, he probably heard about how he changed his life and gave him some hope of maybe what he could do for him. And he had all these dark secrets and all these things lurking in the background of his life. And Jesus is coming through, and this little guy, he climbs up on in a tree. He just wanted to see him. He just wanted to get a glimpse of what he looked like. And here comes Jesus walking, and Zacchaeus comes up, and you know, he has a moment with Jesus, and it impacted his life. And Jesus said, "I'm coming to your house today." And Zacchaeus, he stands up, and he makes a public confession. Luke chapter 19, verse number 8, and Zacchaeus stood, and he said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." Listen to this. "And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation," he says, "I restore him fourfold." He confessed before everybody that I've done wrong. I have wrongfully accused innocent people and unjustly taken from them. If I have falsely accused anyone, he said, I've taken from them. He said, "I'm going to restore unto them." And Jesus' response to him was, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your house. Amen. That word salvation actually means deliverance, restoration. Zacchaeus, because you did that, because you confessed your sin, I'm going to restore you, sir. Amen. I'm going to put your life back together. I'm going to bring some deliverance into your life, Zacchaeus. Salvation's come to your house here today. Amen. Notice he didn't say you. It came to your house. It came to you and your children. It came to your wife. Amen. All those that sit under you, Zacchaeus. Amen. Confession. What is confession? Well, it is an acknowledgement and declaration of guilt. That's really what confession is. If I have committed the act of sin, you know what happens? I'm guilty. Zacchaeus wrongfully took from people. He took from innocent people. He stood guilty as a thief. Guilty as a robber. Amen. I've done some things. I've committed sin in my life. Again, I'm not an angel here today. And I stood before God guilty as charged. Amen. When I was a young man, I didn't grow up in the church, as my wife had already stated that during Sunday school. You know, I as a young man, I made some mistakes. And I was out with a friend. We was night fishing. We went to a place. We shouldn't have been in the pond. We didn't really have permission. It was off the side of the railroad tracks. But we thought, well, nobody knows. So we walked back to tracks, and we're fishing. And we're sitting there not really getting any bites at all. It was kind of one of those type of nights. And you know, we even cast the net on the other side of the boat and didn't catch anything there either. And so we've toiled all night, Lord, and have caught nothing, you know. And so we decided, well, it's time to pack it up. And all of a sudden, you know, it's 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock at night. We hear some girls screaming in the little distance. And we looked at each other, and he said, let's go. I said, no, I don't feel very good about this. And he said, come on. Come on, man. I said, for some reason, I feel like I'm not going to like you for this. And so we went, and we're walking through. Here it was a church camp, and it was the girls had a camp night or something, and we just want to look and just, you know, just maybe we'll meet somebody or whatever crazy things young guys think, you know. And again, I wasn't in the church. Regrettably, I was not in the church. And we went, and we were kind of walking around. All of a sudden, here come these two guards, security. Like, oh, we're found out, you know. We didn't know they had surveillance, and here they come, and, you know, on each side of us. And what are you guys doing here? What's your name? Jeff Bender. You know, and I was quick, and you know, my buddy's like, Brian. Brian who? Brian Smith. You know, and he's, well, come with me. We're going to look you up in the phone book, and if your name checks out, all right. He said, if not, we got problems. So, oh, man, I'm thinking, that's not my name, you know. And so what am I going to do? Well, we go, and all of a sudden, I'm gone. I'm like a gazelle, you know. I'm crashing through the woods, through briars. I mean, it was crazy. I had all kinds of cuts all over me, briars sticking in my skin. And they caught my buddy. He didn't get away. I get back to my truck, and there they were. I had a truck all jacked up. They're sitting up under my truck waiting on me. Anyway, I had to go stand before the judge. Trespassing. You know what? I was guilty as charged. The judge wanted a confession out of me. What do you plead here, Mr. Perry? Well, judge, no contest. You know, that was the easy way out. No contest is the same as saying guilty as charged. Amen. Confession is an acknowledgement and declaration of guilt. If I've committed the act of sin, you know what? I'm guilty. Amen. David said in Psalm 32 in verse 5, he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, my sin, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. God forgave him of his sin because he confessed his sin. Come on, David made some pretty big mistakes through his life. He had some pretty big failures, amen. You don't mess up really any worse than what David did. Amen. He has an intimate moment with a beautiful woman called Bathsheba. She was married. He commits adultery. Amen. She gets pregnant. David tries to cover the sin. He tries to cover the situation. And he thinks he's going to send Uriah out. He's going to get him drunk. And he's going to go and have a moment with his wife. And David can say, you know, he's the father. But it didn't quite work out the way David planned. Amen. The story didn't go the way David wanted it to go. Uriah was so faithful to the king. Amen. He said, I can't do this. But he camped out every day at the door of the king. Amen. He said, I can't do this while my brethren are out fighting. And the king's here. And we're in a battle. He said, I can't do this. And so day after day this happened. And David finally said, I got to do something about it. You know the story. He had Uriah killed. He sent letters, amen, by the captain of the... Actually, Uriah took the letter himself to the captain of the guard. And he sent him in the hottest battle on the front lines. And Uriah goes out and sure enough, he's slain. And to no surprise, the word comes back to David. And he takes Bathsheba as his wife. Celebrating and thinks he's getting away with it and it's okay. The problem was God knew about it. And God spoke to the man of God. And the man of God came and he told David a nice little cute story about a guy that he had a lamb. And it was a poor guy that had a lamb. And it was the most precious thing to him. And he came unjustly and he took this lamb from this man. And David, he went in a rage and he said, that man's going to die. By his own words of his mouth, he should have died. Amen. By his own confession. And Nathan looks at him and says, well, David, I'm sorry to tell you, but you're the man. And you know what he did? He confessed his sin. Sure, he got found out. But he confessed his sin. Amen. You know how quick God forgave him? The very next verse says, I've put it away. I forgive you, David. There's going to be consequence. Here's the thing is, my wife said this recently. I thought, man, that's good. You don't get to choose the consequences of sin. Forgiveness ain't a problem. We can be forgiven. But I'm telling you, it's like when we commit a sin, it's almost like throwing a rock out in a nice, real calm pond. It just ripples on out. And it goes to areas in life. It touches things in life. You don't have a clue what's before you. Things you're going to have to deal with in the future. Amen. But David, he acknowledged his sin. He confessed it before the Lord. And that quick, God forgave him. His iniquity. Listen, we have to be willing to acknowledge our sin and confess our faults unto God. And God can, friend, and He will forgive you. I promise you that. You got a promise from the Word of God. He will forgive you. Come on, there's nothing too heavy for Him that He can't handle. You're not going to surprise God today. It don't matter where you've come from. It don't matter what you've done. Amen. We got to confess our sins. And Pastor, the next verse, Acts 2:38, it tells us after we confess our sin, we repent, then we got to go to the waters of baptism. It ain't enough just to confess it. If you've never been born again, if you've never been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, you got to go into the waters of baptism, buried in Jesus' name, buried in that water, as your pastor invokes the authority of the name of Jesus, that name whereby every man must be saved, that name, come on, that's above every name, that most powerful name, the authorities of the name, friend, we got to speak the name. You know what happens? Your sins are washed away. Amen. And then thank God we have the promise of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But let me tell you, it starts with confession. It's got to start with confession. God Himself, friend, He cannot help a person that will not acknowledge the wrongdoings. God will not help a person that's not willing to just get honest with where they are in life. God, I'm sorry. As powerful as He is, the Creator of the world and the universe and the heavens and all that is, friend, He's limited on what He'll do in your life if we're not willing to confess our sins. Amen. Now, Paul, he's giving instruction to Timothy, his son in the gospel. And he's instructing him concerning the ministry to others. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25, he says, Timothy, you're going to be dealing with people and you're going to have to, in meekness, instruct those that oppose themselves. if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, that they may recover themselves. You see, when we find ourselves trapped in this vice of sin, you're the only one that's really can loose yourself. You got to acknowledge it. Again, I can't help you. Your pastor can't help you. God can't help you till you acknowledge your wrongdoing, your sin. But once we do, amen, we're unlocking the door, friend. We got to acknowledge the truth that we may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by the devil at his will. So in other words, when I involve myself, this is how it works. He'll come and he'll tempt you. He'll entice you and make things look so good. And once you give yourself to it, now you're in this trap. You're in this snare. You can't get out. He doesn't want to let you go. Amen. And the only way, and it's his will to take you right on deeper on in it. The deeper you go, the harder it is to get out. Amen. He wants to entrap you and entangle you with as much sin as he can. I tell you, there's somebody that don't want you saved. Amen. He's the enemy of your soul, and you need to see sin that way because it comes from him. Amen. So we need to see it for what it is. But Paul, he's instructing Timothy here, and he says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him into his will. We must be honest with ourselves and acknowledge and confess our sin to God. Amen. Now, most of us here this morning, this afternoon, I keep saying morning. Most of us here today, we don't have a problem, I'm perceiving, we don't have a problem with anything I've said yet. Everybody's saying amen. Everybody agrees with that. Right? Y'all agree with it. I'm talking about the power of repentance, the power of confession. We got to confess our sins to God. He's faithful. He's just to forgive. We all mess up. We've all had failures. La-di-da. Okay? We don't have a problem confessing our sins to God in the private place buried at an altar. We don't struggle with that at all. Well, I shouldn't say at all, but most of the time. You know, and we need to do that. Tell your neighbor, we need to do that. It's very important. I tell you what, even if it's a bad message, friend, get yourself at the altar. The people that stay saved, I'm telling you, the people that build their lives around an altar. David, come on, he messed up. You know what he said to the Lord? I will encompass thine altar, O Lord. You know what that means? It means I'm going to surround the altar with my life. Every time I come to, I hear a message, I don't care how good or bad it was, I'm telling you, most of the time it gets me, it deals with me, but I find my place at it. I get as close as I can. Yeah. Amen. I'll lay myself on the altar if I can. God, here I am, a living sacrifice. I just want to present myself to him. Amen. You want to stay saved, you need to keep your life around the altar. Amen. But we need to do these things. We need to seek forgiveness with God, and first and foremost. Forgiveness with him, again, it's not a problem. He'll even fill you with the Holy Ghost. He will. Amen. I've had people come in the church. I know they're dealing with a mess in their life, and God fills them with the Holy Ghost. Who am I that I can withstand God? Okay? He chose you. He'll do that. You know, he's looking for repentance. You know? But I'll tell you what, I didn't have it all together, Pastor, when I got the Holy Ghost. I needed the Holy Ghost to overcome. God knew where I was at in life. He said, I'm going to give you something a little extra here, Joel, because, you know, you've been dealing with this for a long time. It's time to get past this. He put his power inside of me. Amen. He enabled me to live right, make better decisions. Amen. So God will do that. That's not a problem with God. But that does not always remove the shame from the sin. Forgiveness ain't the problem, but shame is. We could come into the church, we could apply this precious gospel of Jesus Christ, and there's a good amount of freedom that comes into our life. But sometimes we still walk broken and wounded, amen, because there's unconfessed sin dwelling, lurking in the backgrounds of our lives. Again, you're forgiven. You make it to heaven. I believe that. But why you want to walk as a captive and a prisoner? The power of shame. through the rest of this life. I don't know about you, but the same Bible tells me that he'd forgive me. Tells me that the Holy Ghost comes with peace, power, and joy. There's joy in the Holy Ghost. There's happiness. We ought to be the most happy people on the face of the earth. We've got something special, church. We really do. We got something powerful. Amen. And so we can do all this, and it doesn't remove the shame from the sin. And at times in life, you know, there are some sins that we cannot seem to get past. Things that we cannot get through, we can't get over. Deep, dark secrets of the past, and maybe even the present, some of us. And those sins, they bring shame to our life, and they hinder us in our walk with God. And again, we all deal with it. We all deal with this sin in life. Amen. We've all had failures. We've all had some mistakes. James chapter 5 and verse number 15, he says, "In the prayer of faith shall save the sick." I love that. That's a powerful verse. "And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." God forgives our sins. Amen. But then he goes on to say, and here's where we struggle. Confess your sins to God, right? Is that how it reads? Confess your sins to God. I can't even find the letters to put God on there. It says, confess your faults one to another. See, that's where we struggle. It's okay, I can bury myself in an altar and I can get alone. I can pray. And we need to do that. That's your first step, I think, making it to God. Amen. But when you get up from that, when you get out of the waters of baptism, when you walk away from the altar filled with the Holy Ghost, sometimes there's still an element of shame that wants to entrap us and entangle us. And we can't tell anybody. We got these dark secrets in our life, and it can become a prison, trust me. I've been there. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be what? Healed. That word healed, it actually means to be made whole, to heal, to be free from errors and sins. That's why we confess our faults. That word faults, by the way, it means sin. Offense. Faults, not, well, I turned down a one-way road here yesterday, or I went 5 miles over the speed limit. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about an offense to God. We're talking about a sin. Amen. This confession, friend, is for your healing. It's for your deliverance. It's for your freedom. Confess your faults, your sins, one to another, that you may be healed, that you may be restored, that you may be delivered from the error of sin. Amen. Healing happens when we confess our faults. Through the confession of our faults, freedom is the result. Amen. The scriptures tell us to give no place to the devil. Amen. And when we confess our faults, friend, hear me. The devil does not have a place to work any longer. Hear me. He cannot dwell in the light. Darkness and light cannot coexist. Amen. You can walk into the darkest dark room. Amen. Cave, whatever it might be. And you turn on the light, friend. Every time the darkness is overcome by the light. Listen, when we confess our sins, it's like turning on that light. Amen. You ever walk in a room and there's cockroaches? You ever walk in a dark room and you flip on the light and you hear all this scampering? I've been in kitchens like that. I've been in hotels like that. But I want you turn on the light. That's what the devil does, friend. He flees. He gets out of there. He doesn't like the light. He runs from the light. Amen. When we confess our sins, it's like causing that devil just like a cockroach. Put him on the run. Don't give him a place to work. Don't give him a place to dwell in your life. I'm trying to help somebody today. God wants to open a door for you for freedom today. Amen. The secrets of sin are dark places that the devil can dwell. That alone, that's where he works, friend, in the dark places. Amen. It was 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5. It says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you." This is the message, that God is light. And in Him, friend, there's no darkness at all. Amen. It can't dwell in the presence of God. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, He says, will I, and do not the truth. Amen. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, it cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. And if we say that we have no sin, who are we deceiving? We ain't deceiving God. You might be tricking your pastor. You might fool your pastor, maybe pastor's wife, your brother and sister. But you ain't tricking God. Amen. You ain't fooling anybody. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's power in confession. Confession. I have to agree with them four pastors. It's good for the soul. Amen. I've personally tried in Dover Apostolic Church to create an atmosphere of trust. I've tried to create with those that I inspire and I lead, a pastor. I've tried to create an environment of trust. That they can come to me and they can confess things they struggle with. And, it took a long time to develop that. I tell you, trust is a valuable thing. That's one thing our world really lacks today. And if somebody has trusted you, friend, you better guard that with your life. I tell you, it can take a lifetime to build trust with somebody, but only a moment to destroy it. If somebody confides in you, please, don't break their trust. Amen. Guard it. It's valuable. And I try to create this type of atmosphere that people can come to me and they can tell me the darker secrets that they're dealing with. Amen. And why did I do that? Because they will never receive deliverance. They'll never receive healing if they cannot truly repent. Amen. And times, I'm telling you, there are things that we can deal with that it takes confession to get past. It takes confession to get through. Amen. We want to judge the Catholics really bad for that, don't we? Now, you don't come to me to confess your sins for salvation. No, that's at the altar, buried at the altar with God. Amen. But for healing? Amen. You're dealing with brokenness in your life because of a sin maybe that you committed or another committed? It might be the sin of another. And you're ashamed about it. Amen. It impacted you and you can't get past it and you're walking in this shameful place. Amen. God don't want you to live there. That's the one you go to pastor and talk about. That's the one you go to pastor's wife, or you go to a spiritual authority in your life, somebody you trust. Amen. And you confess that. Now, let me read it again. James 5:16, it says, confess your faults, your sin to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, pastor, when that happens, I promise you, you're going to find yourself dealing with all kinds of monsters. See, we had been through, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but we've been through a situation where, kind of like David, somebody got caught. Isn't that something? We think we're getting away with it, and we get caught, and all of a sudden we're sorry. You know, you're enjoying it. Hey, come on, let's be honest. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But behold, your sins will find you out. And I'll tell you, I've made it my policy. I don't look for sin. It seems to find its, you know, it just, bad news just seems to come. You know, it seems like it seeks us out. Come on, pastor knows what I'm talking about. You know, but somebody got caught. Somebody seen them. They witnessed something. And all of a sudden, now we got to confess. Because pastor wants some details. You're involving yourself in ministry, apostolic ministry, and you got this stuff going on in the background. Come on, you've been baptized through the Holy Ghost, got the power of God inside of you, and yet we're involving ourselves. And the first thing that came to my mind was, do we not have any fear of God anymore? You know, I wanted to drop the hammer. But I had to pray and I had to seek God, and he said, Joe, you need to exercise mercy. You need to exercise love. Amen. And so let me tell you, when we did this, we created this atmosphere of trust and people, again, got caught. And so there was some confession that was made. And when this happens, we found ourselves dealing with all types of monsters. And sin that's been lurking in the dark places of the lives of people. Things came out. And I tell you, I've had people come to me even recently. And honestly, we're dealing with some situations. We're dealing with some ugly situations. Hey, how many know that people can be messy? The lives of people can be messy. It's not always just walking through the park, amen, walking through the roses, tiptoeing through the tulips. That's not always what it's like when you minister in the lives of people. We make mistakes. We're faulty. We have failures. We make bad decisions. Amen. And it can be messy. Amen. I know that sin, it hurts. Sin's destructive. The result of it, friend, it works death. It works pain. It works destruction. And I'll tell you, you know, I've tried to create this environment through the years. I've had people come to me and through the years and confess all types of sexual sins. Adultery. I've had people come and confess fornication. They're involved in leadership. Or they're, maybe they're not there yet, but they're well on the way. And I've had people come to me and confess things that they've done. Amen. I've had people confess abuse to me. I've had people come to me and confess stealing, taking something from somebody, or being a thief and a robber. I've had people confess that kind of junk. I've had people, believe it or not, confess murder to me. What do you do with this? That's pretty heavy. I've had people come to me, confess lying, you know, and all kind of junk. And it's like, you know, as a pastor, you know, we recently been through here at DAC, a time of prayer and fasting. And it, you know, it was a lengthy type of fast. And I'm talking, you know, multiple days here. And we came back from NYC and our youth engaged in this, and we've done, again, a lengthy type of fasting, and we wanted to go for 66 days and not fast the whole time, but there were seasons through that. You know, some was 3 days, 5 days. We've been up as far as 21 days, some of us, and we're fasting, we're praying, we're pursuing God and trying to develop some apostolic habits in our life. And through this time, you know, you come out of this and you know, you think that when you're nearing the end, the heavens are going to part. Come on. We just did a lengthy fast. The heavens are going to part. The Holy Ghost is going to descend upon me. I'm going to be transfigured just like Jesus on the Mount of Olives. Come on. That's what we think. You know, we're going to preach at a whole nother level. There's going to be this anointing. And when we preach, such understanding is going to come to people. And just like Cornelius, when Peter preached, people all over this are going to get the Holy Ghost when we preach. I ain't got to lay a hand on them. You know, this is the visions and what we think is going to happen. We're going to preach and there's going to be this brand new authority, this powerful authority in the Holy Ghost that's going to fall in the eyes of people, and blinded eyes are going to be opened, and the lame are going to walk, and the deaf are going to, they're going to sing. Amen. And all this powerful stuff is going to happen. And you know what? Sometimes it does. Sometimes that does happen. But let me tell you what happened to us. I would rather that happen. But let me tell you what happened to us. There have been all kinds of things that came out. And you go through a season of prayer and fasting like that, you know. Monsters and messy situations of sin. It was exposed. Ugly stuff. And I want to warn you as a church, when you go through times of lengthy fasting, season of prayer like that, be prepared. Okay? When all this stuff started coming out, now we ain't been through a church split or not like that. Nobody killed anybody. So I mentioned somebody confessed murder. That wasn't recently. Okay? But my wife and I, we began to think, what in the world are we doing wrong? Pastor, we're failures. People can't even live for God. Involved in levels of ministry. Here we are dealing with this kind of junk, these kind of monsters, this kind of dark, ugly things coming out of people. Some years ago, some recent. I'm thinking, God, we're failures, and you know, we might as well just throw in the towel. Amen. And stuff came out. We had to start changing the way we do things because of it. You know, we're minus a few people here and there because of it. Some people, I don't know how you do things here, but you know, when things like that are come out, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to sit for a while. You have to take some time. Amen. You need to get restored. You need to get right with God. And so we had to sit some people down that changed the way we do things. I wasn't happy about that. Amen. And we begin to wonder, what am I doing wrong? And we're failures and all, you know, we're supposed to train people and disciple people and mentor people, to do the work of the ministry. You know, you're the body of Christ, your members in particular. God's got a purpose and a reason for everybody here. There's gifting He put inside of you. This young man that's got the Holy Ghost here recently, with that came the gift of the Holy Ghost, but also giftings of the Spirit that God has deposited in your life. You need to let those develop, and God's going to use those to be a blessing to the church, be a blessing to your pastor and his family. Amen. A blessing to one another. God's put gifting in us when we got the Holy Ghost to help us to edify and build up the body of Christ and to serve. Amen. And there's a whole perspective, amen, of levels of serving that will include. Amen. And you know, we're failing at this because all this stuff's going on. You know, and we was a little bit disgusted, but all of a sudden God began to speak to me. And now I understand this is the very thing that needed to happen in the lives of people. If we're ever going to be free from the power of sin, if we're truly ever going to be free from the power of death, amen, we got to be able to confess our sins. It's got to be able to be exposed if we're going to move on into the things of God. If we're really going to fulfill our purpose and our place in Him, we've got to be able to confess these dark things in our life. Amen. Come on. We're giving room for the devil to work. We're giving room for sin to lurk in our life if we're not just willing to deal with it. Amen. And it can be ugly. It can be painful. But can I tell you, it is worth it. It's worth it to be free. It's worth it to move on in God. Amen. Again, the scriptures say, confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. Amen. Not embarrassed, not ashamed, but set free. Amen. Healed. I tell you, freedom feels pretty good. I don't know about you, but I came out of a mess in life. Oh, come on. You're looking at a guy that was possessed at one point in my life with devil influence. I had all kinds of anger. I had all kinds of rebellion. I had all kinds of fear even that gripped my soul. I had all these shameful secrets in my life of dark things that I've done. And let me tell you when it changed. Oh, I was baptized. I even got the Holy Ghost, Pastor. But I tell you when it changed. When I have to thank the devil today. I really do. Because he was tormenting me in my dreams. And you know, it was so bad. I would go into a sweat and my body would tremble. I'd shake and I'd hear this voice, this growly, nasty voice speaking into my mind. And it wouldn't stop. And it only got worse and worse. And the God, what's wrong with me? Why won't this stop? I've been baptized. I got the Holy Ghost. Why am I living in this? And it just got worse and worse. And I got to the point, finally, I was desperate. Let me tell you two types of people that get to this point of true deliverance. Those that trust to be able to go to pastor. Say, I trust you. I got some secrets I need to talk about. They trust you. And those that are desperate. I was desperate, Brother Donnie. And I went to Bishop Ellis. Amen. I cried. I'm shaking. Amen. The spirits that were was shaking inside of me. I was so scared, but I knew he had the answer. I knew he had what I needed. And let me tell you, when my life was changed and I was totally and completely set free, it was when I confessed some sin in my life. It opened the door and we was able to deal with things. And I'll tell you what, I hit the ground running, friend, and I never looked back. Amen. And I ain't going back. I've come too far in God. I'm telling you, I've come too far. And I didn't get here all by myself, but God has been at work. Amen. But I had to be willing to be open and be honest with Him and say, God, here it is, and I'm an open book. I had to get to the point I was willing to do whatever I had to do. God, I just want to be free. Amen. Maybe that's not your story today, but maybe you're still walking around with shame. Maybe there's some certain sin you just can't stop doing, you can't get past. Maybe there's some dark secrets that maybe you're not doing anymore, but there's all this shame. You're in a prison today. I can promise you freedom is the power of confession. Confessions. Jesus' name. The Bible tells us in Galatians, I'm almost finished, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are, somebody said, spiritual, not carnal. You which are spiritual. It doesn't say you which are carnal, go run your mouth. It doesn't say you which are spiritual, go gossip. Go slander. Go talk about them. You which are spiritual. It says restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest you also be tempted. You know what? It takes spiritual people to bring restoration. Amen. You know, thank God there's been some people we're trying to work through some messes. Thank God they got caught. Thank God it was exposed. It's not what they wanted. But thank God, God loved them enough to allow it to be found out. And we was able to take them by the hand through the shame, walk them out of this dark place. Okay, let's talk about it. Come on, did this happen? What to tell me? You know, we had to be spiritual. We had to show mercy. We had to show compassion. We had to go to some of the people that seen it and talk to them and say, look, let's be spiritual here. Let's restore someone. Let's not go running our mouth and telling everybody all this junk. We need to work it. They're already ashamed enough. They're already dealing with enough. Let's help them. Let's do this. And so we just been taking different. And you know what? And the thing is, I just had the other day another text. Pastor, I got to confess some things. I need to have a meeting. And I thank God for this, Pastor, because this brings true revival. Amen. We can't have all this darkness dwelling in the backgrounds of our life. Listen, if we want God, come on, to do some powerful things through this. We need some healing. We need some deliverance. We need to move forward in Him. Let me tell you, the greatest revival that ever swept across the soil of America, friend. You know how it was birthed? It was birthed out of some guys getting together, and they were praying, they were fasting, they were pursuing God, and the Holy Ghost fell. And there were pastors of denominational churches. There were hundreds and thousands of people. You heard about it, the Azusa Street Revival. There were people coming in, and there were men standing up, and they were confessing their sin before everybody. And the power of God would fall in that place. And come on, this is historical documentation. People getting the gift of the Holy Ghost. People being healed of all kinds of stuff. That's what came out of confession. So you're worried here this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand up and confess your sins, aren't you? Go ahead, let's one by one. Sister Roberts, what's yours? We can't provoke that. We can't do that. But these people, they wanted to go further in God. They was hungry. They wanted so much more. Come on, they lived the life of religion, and it wasn't enough. It left them empty and broken. Just like that goat wandering through the wilderness carrying those sins. They said, I want some healing. I want some deliverance. And they just out with it. And you know what? They got the Holy Ghost, but even beyond that, they got some true freedom in their life. Amen. And God did powerful things through them. Amen. I want to tell you, I'm not asking you to stand up here today and start, unless God would tell you to do that. I believe God would heal you. I believe God would restore you, do powerful things. I really do. But I know we don't trust. We're afraid. So we don't do that. But here's what I want to encourage you. I want you to go to your pastor. I'm telling you, I know this man. I know his family. I know his wife. You can trust this couple. You can trust this man and this woman of God. And I'm confident you could go to them and bare your soul. And they're not going to shame you. They're going to help you. They're going to take you by the hand. And they're going to walk you out of the darkness right on into His marvelous light. And you're going to watch God bring some healing and do some powerful things in your life. I can tell you that. Amen. And those that we've been working with, we've been dealing with, they was totally embarrassed. They was ashamed. But they finally came out, Pastor, I'm so glad. Thank you. Because I got a new freedom in my life. I don't have to walk in the shame of that anymore. Amen. They're beginning to be healed, and God's doing great things. Amen. Jesus' name. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Actually says shall make you free. Can I tell you, that's not just the truth of doctrine. That's a personal truth. That's a personal integrity of being what you say you are. Amen. I can tell you one of the greatest environments that we can create in the church is an atmosphere of trust that fosters confession. Amen. When we can love people and have compassion and mercy on them beyond the boundaries of ethnicities, beyond color, beyond even sexual preference, beyond occupation, beyond educational levels, etc., 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 we can and will truly make a difference. This is ministry, folks. When you do that, I promise you, there's all kinds of monsters that's going to be loosed. There's all kinds of situations. Sin will be exposed. That's what I found out comes through lengthy fasting. God exposes things. And people get released from the power of sin and death. Amen. I'm closing. In Jeffrey's mind, the thoughts became desires that turned into actions that established strongholds, Sister Angela. He didn't tear them down with the Word of God, but he let these thoughts start building a fortress around his mind. There wasn't too much that could get in there. In 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We all deal with bad thoughts. In fact, if there's anybody here that doesn't, raise your hand because I want to shake your hand. I didn't think so. Oh, I saw my hand come up back here. I'm kidding. I like doing that. It's fun. We all deal with lustful desires. We've all had failures. We've all missed the mark. I think we'd agree on that. But if you put a spiritual stronghold on top of that, you're dealing with something at a whole different level. See, I got to die daily to these thoughts, these desires. I got to lay it in an altar. I got to start up and say, "God, crucify this flesh today. I get not my will, Lord, but your will be done. I lay myself out here before you. God, I submit to you. Feed my mind the word of God." Amen. That's how I deal with the thoughts. Amen. But it's a whole nother when it's a stronghold. That's how people can continue in sin, knowing full well that it's wrong. And it's even going to bring bad consequences. Bad consequences are going to come, but I can't stop. That's a stronghold. And very possibly, it might even be a generational curse. A lot of times that's where strongholds do come from. It develops to the point, can't stop. It's a thought process in my mind. It's got to be altered. It's got to be changed. Now, I'm here today, I wanted to say this morning. I'm here today to help somebody find some freedom in your life. God doesn't want you to live there. He doesn't want you to walk in this dark place in life. Listen to this. Listen to the power of confessions. In Confessions, Jeffrey Dahmer, he said that all this ugliness, all this shame, all this wickedness that surrounded his life. This is what he said. "After I was found out and the truth was exposed, I fell free. It all lifted from me. I didn't understand everything I went through. I didn't understand what happened. But when I confessed it, I fell free. That burden was lifted off of me. There he is locked up, a man behind bars. And for the first time in his life, he truly felt free." So I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what's going on. But this is what I do know. You don't have to live there any longer. Amen. He said, I feel free, like I had nothing to hide any longer. He said, I didn't have to feel trapped in this world of fear and torment. I don't have to live here anymore. Confessions bring the responsibility to your conscience to make the wrong right through your actions. Would you stand with me here this morning? Today. I guarantee you, as I look around this place, I see no angels. I guarantee you there are people in this room right now that have dark, shameful secrets lurking from your past. And I know that you would be fully embarrassed if you'd make them known right now. Things that you've done, you know it was wrong. You know you shouldn't have went there. You know you shouldn't have acted out upon that. Maybe something was done to you. I really don't know what's between you and God right now. But I know He'll forgive you. That's not an issue. But I can tell you, your freedom is found. Confessions. Jesus' name. Some of us I know in this room, there's secrets you have in your mind. You're so embarrassed. You're afraid. Anybody ever found out? So you said, I'm going to take this to my grave. Nobody's ever going to know about this. To that I say, God wants you to be free. God wants you to be healed. God wants you to be restored, my friend. In Jesus' name, He wants you to be delivered. I know confession is not easy. Listen, it takes a brave and a desperate person to confess. I tell you, it's worth it. It's not easy, but it's an opportunity for you for deliverance and healing and ultimately restoration in your life. If we handle this properly, I'm telling you, this could be the best day of your life. In Jesus' name. Pastor, your phone's going to ring. Your phone's going to ring. Sister Robertson, you can trust this couple. In Jesus' name. I wonder if it'd be all right if we could just right now come around an altar. If you feel to come this morning, I want to just come and pray. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. In Jesus' name. David said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Oh, in Jesus' name, I want to pray for you. All right now, in Jesus' name, would you just grab the hand of somebody beside you? Come on, if it be appropriate to do so, find somebody. Come on, I wonder if we could just do our best to develop an atmosphere of trust. Come on, I love you. I need you. You're my brother. You're my sister. Come on. I'm not the same without you. I need you. Come on. We're in this together, my friend. We're in this together. In Jesus' name. Run to hell by the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. I come under this precious pastor and his family. Under his authority. And I loose right now the desire in our hearts, oh God, to do what is right. Oh God, put your desires in our heart today to want to be free, to be the people, God, you called us to be. In Jesus' name, God, I want to go further in you. I want to go deeper, Lord. But I got these things lurking in my past. I can't shake it. I can't get past it. I need your grace, God, to help me. Lord, I want to trust. I want to be free. Oh, come on. It's worth it, my friend. It's worth it. It's worth it. You can do this. In Jesus' name, God, loose your grace right now. Loose your grace right now. In Jesus' name, let great grace be upon us, Lord. Oh, God. Open a door for deliverance today. Open a door for healing, God, here this morning. In the name of Jesus. Come on, God wants you to be free. God wants to heal you. It's time to move forward. In Jesus' name. Come on, may God help you. God, I want to be honest. I want to be out with the Lord. I'm tired of living under this. I'm tired of walking with the shame. I'm tired of walking with the embarrassment of sin in my life. In Jesus' name. Come on, may God help you today. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Come on, we got to trust one another. We got to be there for one another, my friend. Oh, in Jesus' name. Come on, God loves you. Your pastor loves you. Come on, his family loves you. Come on, this is what you're about. In Jesus' name. Come on, I want you to be loosed. Let's move forward in God. Jesus' name. Don't let the devil trap you. Don't let him do it. Come on. He wants to lie to you and tell you you're the only one. You're isolated. He wants to tell you, come on, you're a failure. That's a lie. You had a failure. You might have committed a failure, but you're not a failure. You're a child of God. Come on, you're a son. You're a daughter. Don't let him trap you. In Jesus' name. Come on, I'm looking at some people that want to be free. I'm trying to kick a door open for somebody today. It's time to come out of that darkness. Come on, let's move into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Let's have fellowship with one another. Come on, let's be out with it once and for all.
Like a flood, you're slowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in of you. I'm in of you. Where your love ran red, and my sin. Oh,
tell you, this message is not over. It's just beginning. Please do yourself a favor. Don't let a week go by without connecting with your pastor, your pastor's wife. You can trust them. Don't believe that voice that's speaking right now, telling you you can't do that. Don't let him trap you any longer. Hear me, I've had pastors' sons come to me. Say, Pastor, I was dealing with this. See, here's being a pastor, pastor's wife. If we're not careful, we can put ourselves in this isolated place where we're trapped. Because nobody can find out about what I've done. Isolated. There's such an entrapment there. Because of who we think we are. The truth of the matter, there ain't one above another in here. We're all the same before God, friend. The only reason I'm anybody is because of Jesus Christ, what he's doing in my life. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Come on now. Oh, in Jesus' name. God's trying to kick a door open for somebody today, that we can walk into that marvelous light. We don't have to walk in darkness any longer. We don't have to lie to ourselves. We don't have to lie to anybody. But we can, come on, we can confess. We can speak the truth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And let me tell you, if you find something out about somebody, love them. Love them. Let me tell you something. I had the guy that's as close, the closest thing you could be to an associate pastor to me. Since this stuff started opening up in Dover, he said, oh God, I realized some things from my past. Over 20 years ago, 30 years ago. The shame of it. He said, I thought I just buried it and I was going to be okay. He said, but man, this stuff started coming out and I realized, and he began to weep, and he said, Pastor, I did this. This happened in my life. And you know, before he confessed it, the devil's sitting there saying, people are going to be ashamed of you. They're going to be so disappointed in you. You can't do that. What's everybody going to think? They're going to look at you in a whole different way. The truth of the matter, you know what I told him? I looked him in the eyes and said, bro, when you confess some things to me, you know what that did to me? It only made me love you more. It brought a whole nother level of respect to you because of your transparency to me. I'm telling you, it connected us that much the more. I'm going to say, if you're a parent, you're a child. Parents, don't, if somebody comes, if your kid comes to you and says, Mom, Dad, I did this. Love them. Love them. It's hard enough. Would everybody agree? It's hard enough to confess some of the dark, shameful things of our past. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Let's not be a judge. Let's show compassion. Let's show love and mercy. Take them by the hand. Let's walk through this. Let's walk through this valley of the shadow of death. Come on, let's get into the presence of God. In Jesus' name, Pastor.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God has given us an avenue. Amen. To live holy, free, and lives above sin. Amen. We can walk in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And we can live knowing that one day that we are going to be changed. Amen. One day. when he splits that eastern sky, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're not going to have these worries anymore. We're not going to have these issues anymore. Amen. He is going to change us. And we are going to be like him. Hallelujah. We got something to look forward to. Amen. But draw close to God. Amen. Don't let a moment steal what God has has for eternity. Amen. It's not worth it. Praise God. God bless you. I know we went a little extra long today, but it was good.